This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'm already upset with the way that we have opened the Dan Le Batard Show today here on ESPN Radio. I am Peter Burns. She is Katie George. We're hanging out with you all week long. We've got 17 different Zoom windows open. We've got 45 different lines of communication here for the whole crew. So naturally, I was upset because I had all this show prep. I was ready to rock and roll, Katie, for the whole week. Le Batard Show, it's a big deal, right? And then they play this two-minute intro to the show that's all about game shows. And now I want to throw everything out of the window. I don't want to talk about the Washington Redskins. I don't want to talk about President Trump going over on Bubba Wallace this morning with false information. I don't want to talk about Cam Newton's crazy video that he released on Instagram today. And now I just want to go, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Stop, press your luck. That's the 80. Cats and the squirrels that we'll be chasing over the next, I don't know, 4 days. Hi, Katie. How are you? Good morning.
Hi, Peter Burns. How are you? Throw the rundown out the window, buddy.
Why not?
I'll follow you.
I don't know if there ever is a rundown per se when doing the Le Batard Show. I'm looking at the guys now and they're all kind of shaking their heads saying, no, there isn't one. So I feel like we're going to feel at home. And I always love, like, this is my favorite time of year to do radio. Because I feel like when you do it in October or November, it's easy, right? We're talking about the games. We're talking about press conferences. That's easy. That is just absolute two-foot putt. You knock it in, you move on to the next hole. Here, this time of year, it's always interesting when you fill in for somebody because it's like renting an Airbnb, but you don't care if you get your deposit back whatsoever, Katie. Like, we can just absolutely destroy Le Batard Show for 4 days, and they're going to be like, well, we had nobody else to work for ESPN Radio, so what else were we going to do? And then Dan will never take vacation again, and then the listeners will be happy. So, in essence, what I'm trying to tell you is don't expect a whole lot from us, at least from me, Katie. I feel like you're going to have to...
Set the bar higher.
No, you see, I mean, I am definitely a set the bar low kind of guy. Like, when I come in hosting for a week, I want to be the Cleveland Browns of expectations. And not of, like, the 2019 Cleveland Browns, where we actually thought they were going to be pretty good and they were just a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. I want to be more like the 2016-2017 Cleveland Browns. Like, listen, ritual apology. It's going to be bad for the whole week. Horrible takes. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be upset on Twitter. And therefore, if I do anything just slightly above average, Katie, I feel like we've accomplished something over the next couple of days.
See, this is where we differ, Pete. I want to be the Bryson DeChambeau of ESPN Radio, okay? I've got this hot new bod. I'm flexing. I'm driving the ball 400 yards down the course. That's what I want, and I want people to expect that from us Monday through Thursday as we fill in for Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts.
Do you have your protein shake ready to go? Have you had your 5 eggs, your 7 pounds
of
bacon,
actually,
thing that Bryson has?
I just drank, you know, straight egg yolks, 7 of them.
Good.
As well. So I'm really bulked up, ready for my gains, or is that what people say? I don't know.
I think that's what the kids are saying nowadays.
Is it?
By the way, our guest, we'll talk to Tom Van Heeren, who was our ESPN reporter there at the Mortgage City Classic, or the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where Bryson DeChambeau just basically destroyed the golf course. He'll join us in the Shell Pencil Performance Line a little bit later here on the show. We'll talk to Kenny Smith, talks about basketball as well, too. Of course, they're getting ready to start everybody rolling into the bubble, or how many people are even going to be in the bubble, as we saw the latest news that Milwaukee Bucks have said, hey, shut it down! Shut it down! There might have been a player or players or staff or personnel. We've seen this happen time and time again. Major League Baseball has happened over again. And at least in golf, and that's where I'll start today, of course, how the Dan Le Batard Show always starts with a huge golf take.
Absolutely.
I love what Bryson DeChambeau was able to do this weekend and destroy the golf world. And I want to play this sound, too. Here's Bryson on what the win meant for him and how this whole week came about.
It's a little emotional for me because I did do something a little different. I changed my body, changed my mindset in the game, and I was able to accomplish a win while playing a completely different style of golf. And it's pretty amazing to see that, and I hope it's an inspiration to a lot of people that if they set their mind to it, you can accomplish it. It just takes a lot of hard work, a lot of figuring out things that you may not know and understand yet, but if you keep going down the line and you keep working on it, figuring stuff out, eventually you'll get a little bit better each and every day, and hopefully that leads to something great in the end.
Bryson DeChambeau is the life coach that I needed in my life this week, Katie. And you know what? The life coach that we needed for the year 2020. Like, this has been such a dumpster fire of a 6 months, and I didn't know Bryson crushing 7 egg yolks and protein shakes would be the guy that would just speak the truth that we need in America right now. And you don't like him for whatever reason. I'm trying to figure out what the Katie George hate is on Bryson DeChambeau is right now.
Hate is a strong word, but I do catch myself as I'm listening to that. I'm like, cringing. And I'm passing judgment. And I know it's not good to be a judgmental human being, but to be fair, I was all in. I thought, wow, this is really entertaining to watch when he came back after the quarantine and had this new bod. But then what happened on Saturday during round three for me, I don't know. I think I'm out on Bryson, and I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm going to get back in on him as his career progresses. What happened on Saturday was not cool. And I don't know if you want to start there or we get into it later.
Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio. And why we're starting there on Saturday, the way you sounded, if people don't know, if they don't follow golf, they don't know what happened on Saturday. Your build up to what happened on Saturday makes it sound like he found a grandma that was living on the golf course, went out there, punched her left-handed, and then kicked her dog at least 3 streets over, right?
I mean, that's
graphic. Not what happened. Like, that is a hateable thing for Bryson DeChambeau. If Bryson DeChambeau kicks a 94-year-old lady's dog, I got to be honest with you, he's pretty hateable at that point. Yet, you dislike him for a different reason, Katie, and it had to do with the cameraman. I mean, please,
I do.
explain yourself.
Okay. He's on the 7th hole. He's in the bunker. Bad shot, whatever. He chunks it coming out of the bunker, doesn't like his shot, throws his club down. The cameraman who's there helping the television crew broadcast this thing to all the viewers who obviously want to watch sports at home follows him from the bunker all the way up to the green. Apparently, it was pretty close, right? Like, cameraman's trying to get in on the action, wants to show his face, wants to show the emotion of the situation. He's clearly upset. Afterwards, he goes up and has a conversation with the cameraman. I mean, they're standing really, really close together. He seems to get pretty heated. After the round concluded, a reporter asked him, "Hey, what happened on the 7th hole?" He said, quote, "He was literally watching me the whole entire way up after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green. And I was just like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand it's his job to video me." Yeah, it is. "But at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here. Compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image, I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. It could hurt someone's brand."
See, I love this. I love every minute of it, because you know why? This is the petty thing we hate about sports that's not Black National Anthem or the Washington Redskins, like actual real issues that we're discussing. The fact that we're like, America is healing itself by being upset that a golfer is upset as a cameraman is the America that I need in my life right now.
Yeah, this is what we should be talking about right now in 2020. Like, hey, Bryson, you're making millions of dollars. You hit a bad shot. His job is to document that for the world to see. Like, I'm sorry you have a problem with that. Do you remember which Masters was it? Was it 2016 when Jordan Spieth had like a 5-shot lead going on the back nine of the Masters?
Yes, completely
and just
choked
crumbled.
It. Brett Norman did. Yes.
It was gut-wrenching, right? He like chunked it into the water, what, a couple times?
Right on 12,
bogey.
Yeah, mid-quad, yeah.
Okay, we got to watch that all go down. And as hard as it was to watch, Jordan Spieth was becoming a superstar at that time. Already was. He had already won a Masters at that point. He was trying to go for back-to-back. Like, that to me is part of the game. I'm sorry there's cameramen too close to document it. Like, I don't think you need to point your anger towards the poor cameraman who's there doing his job. Like, Bryson, get over yourself. You've got a hot new bod, but you need to check that hot temper, buddy.
I think he's got a hot new bod, but also I think the gas is explosive. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be dead serious. And I might be a little bit too much here on a Monday morning. And I did not know that I was going to utter that phrase here at 10 a.m. in the first segment.
You didn't.
But yet,
I think you
yet
did.
Here we are. And I think that's where we'll go. In fact, there's no other way to talk about Bryson DeChambeau's gas and to transfer into a SportsCenter update. So let's just try to see if we can make that little nice, awkward transition, Katie. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, you know who's gaining gas or steam, if you will? Peter Burns. The NHL and NHLPA have finalized the protocols.
Yeah,
it was a stretch. They finalized the protocols for the season to resume this summer in Toronto and Edmonton. Both sides were still finalizing the details of a memorandum of understanding for a collective bargaining agreement extension. The three minority owners of the Washington Redskins, businessmen Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick W. Smith, who combined own about 40% of the team, are seeking to sell their shares in the team because they are, quote, not happy being a partner with owner Daniel Snyder. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Nailed it. Even the transition was pretty good. Katie George, coming up, I do want to talk about the Washington Redskins and why the three minority owners that want to sell 40% of it is a much larger issue than just the name, the logo itself. And if you're an NFL fan, you should be worried as well. We'll talk about that as well. And then Anthony's also going to try to tell me and convince me why this UFC fight is a huge deal that got rescheduled. That all coming up here. Peter Burns, Katie George in on the Dan Le Batard Show. I hate every rejoin of this show because it gets my squirrel voice, my mind, this feeble mind that Peter Burns has going in so many different directions when I know I got to be on point. Because now I'm thinking about dog food. I'm thinking about game shows. This is not going well. Peter Burns, Katie George here in all week long on the Dan Le Batard Show. And, of course, all the guests on the Dan Le Batard Show join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll be talking to Tom Van Heeren, who was our ESPN reporter. Boots on the ground watching Bryson DeChambeau absolutely destroy his drives and the field and a lot of people's conceptions or misconceptions, I'd say, about golfers. But before we get into him, Katie George is now for a SportsCenter update. Let's roll.
Well, the NHL and NHLPA have finalized the protocols for the season to resume this summer in Toronto and Edmonton. Both sides were still finalizing the details of a memorandum of understanding for a collective bargaining agreement extension. The three minority owners of the Washington Redskins, businessmen Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick W. Smith, who combined owned about 40% of the team, are seeking to sell their shares in the team because they are not, quote, happy being a partner with owner Daniel Snyder. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, there you go. And joining us right now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line is Tom Van Heeren. And Tom, let's start with this. Bryson DeChambeau, did he make more fans of his shtick this week with his win, or did he get more detractors after he just destroyed the field after, 23 under there in Detroit?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think there are probably more detractors now. I think, Peter, people like to hate something, right? There's got to be a villain at some point within sports. And I think he's kind of turning into that a little bit. He had an instance out on the course in one of the rounds. Some reporters highlighted he talked to a cameraman about recording him and taping him, and people were talking about that. Some people are saying it's not sustainable. It's not, it's bulking up and adding distance. It's not something that can last forever. So I think even though he went out and did what he did, I think more people are talking about him as a villain instead of him as a winner and what's ahead for him in his career.
I'm glad you brought up the word villain because I watched the little incident between the cameramen where he said that it's a vulnerable situation to be put in when you hit a bad shot and the cameraman follows you throughout the course up into the green. And he said that it could hurt a player's image or their brand. What did people make of that up in Detroit when that happened?
Yeah, I was actually there when it happened. So it was the whole thing was interesting because you're out there with no fans. The cameramen on Detroit Golf Club, there aren't as many towers as some of the other courses for the cameras to be in. So a lot of the cameramen are right next to the green. Bryson happened to hit a shot out of the bunker he didn't like. He hit his club into the sand. He noticed that the cameraman, who was probably 10-15 feet away from him, was still recording him. And he went over to him after he finished the hole, and he had a conversation with him. And he said, why are you filming me for so long after my shot? And really, honestly, guys, when I was there watching it, I was intrigued by what happened, but he did not raise his voice. He didn't point at the cameraman. They had what I would say was just a conversation for about 20 to 30 seconds, and then he moved on. And he said to him afterwards, the cameraman said, "I got it. I got you." And they both walked away amicably. So I actually didn't think it was as big of a deal as everyone made it out to be. I think the problem ended up being his comments afterwards.
Sure.
And what you just touched on, saying protecting the player's brand and protecting the image. Well, that's not their job. That's not the cameraman's job. He works for CBS Sports. It's not his job to control what the people see. It's your job as an athlete, as a professional athlete, to go out there and display the brand, display the image you want. If you didn't want people to see you slamming your club in the bunker, then don't do it.
Right.
So that's where I had the problem. It wasn't with the act. I thought the act and what happened, I thought that got blown out of proportion because I saw it. I didn't think it was that bad. Had he gone into the press conference afterwards and said, you know what, I was frustrated. I didn't hit a good shot. I shouldn't have hit the bunker the way I did. I shouldn't have said anything to the cameraman. Just a moment of, you know, a mistake that I made. I moved on, talked to him about it, and that's it. I think it would have been a completely different story had he said that instead of what he did.
I kind of just want Tom Van Hare joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. I kind of just want him to turn full heel at this point. Like, he's already got the bro thing going, Tom. But, like, right? I mean, like, I feel like... Not that we need it, but at the end of the day, sports is entertainment. And for Bryson to do this, I mean, that's why, listen, if Kevin Kisner wins yesterday, we don't really talk about that. Matthew Wolf, who is an incredible young talent and has just the funkiest Jim Furyk type swing, and he's going to be a star. Like, if he wins, it's not going to make the Dan Le Batard Show. It's not going to make SportsCenter. But now that Bryson does it, he's become one of these characters, right? And I don't necessarily know if that's a bad thing for a sport that's trying to get its foothold with a little bit of a younger generation.
No, I think it's great. And, you know, it's almost like Anakin Skywalker with Bryson DeChambeau, right? He's teetering on... He wants to be good, but there's also, like you said, this villain aspect that could come out. It's interesting to watch, but I agree. It's I think it's good for the sport. And, you know, we saw a little bit of that with Brooks Koepka at times when he just kind of says what he wants and does what he wants. And I kind of equate it to, Peter, we're both in the college football world as well. And college football coaches always talk about managing your roster, right? So you don't have any holes. You recruit 3 years out. Well, the tour, we look at Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Those guys are getting up in age to where eventually they're not going to be playing on tour anymore, and you have to replace that entertainment value on your roster. And you need guys like this who create buzz, who get people talking. Like you said, we're not talking about this if Kevin Kisner wins. If Tyrrell Hatton goes up and wins, nobody's talking about it right now. So I agree. This is absolutely good for the sport. And Kevin Kisner even said yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau is changing the way the game is played. That's only a good thing for the PGA Tour to have eyes on them.
Tom, Tiger Woods, old man strength, known for working out. Him and Bryson, UFC, Fight Island. If they get added to Dana White's card here in Abu Dhabi, who do you got and when?
Bryson DeChambeau is, I want to say this in a proper way, he is thick, okay? He's built. I just feel like if you're UFC fighting, grappling, you can take guys to the ground, it's going to be tough to get him down to the ground. I mean, I was standing next to him this weekend. He reminds me of, like I said, we're in the college football world, so I cover recruiting too. I the whole week, I was like, man, he looks like a freshman in college, a linebacker, who's bulked up a little bit, maybe didn't do it the right way. He's not trimmed his body fat down yet, but he's big. So I can't go against someone that looks like that. Looks like a linebacker. I would go with him all day.
Linebacker's a good call. I was going to go with tight
end.
Katie,
they got thick golfers now. THICC. Thick golfers in the PGA Tour.
Back to a more serious note, Tom. We've obviously seen players test positive. Players remove themselves over the last couple of weeks due to the coronavirus. How do you feel like the PGA is kind of adapting and making sure that things are as safe as possible? And what do you think of the job that Jay Monahan has done?
Yeah, adapting is the right word. I think that's been the key, is they put in their protocols, their safety measures, and then they kind of just let it play out and see what needed to be tweaked, what needed to be changed. And we've seen them make some changes to their protocols, make changes to testing. Players are now testing pre-tournament before they can step on site, even on the range or the course. When they first came back, players were being tested before the tournament, but they were allowed to actually go out on the range or the course before they got their test results back. They were just limited to, they couldn't go indoors, inside the clubhouse. So the tour backed off of that, and now you have to actually get your test results back before you can even go on site. And so I think they've done a really good job. Talking to the players, I actually talked to a PGA Tour official this week about this, and that was something that he highlighted. He said, we have to adapt. We have to make sure that we're not just set in our ways and doing it this one way, that as we evolve, as we travel different places and have different challenges, we have to adapt and have to make sure that we're making it as safe as possible. And talking to the players this week, I think they all agree that Jay Monahan has done an outstanding job as commissioner and overseeing all of the protocols. And they've all said they feel comfortable with what they're doing. They feel comfortable with being out there and how everyone's handling everything. And I think one point that I would make, guys, to this is, as other people might want to compare and contrast sports, as we see baseball trying to come back, basketball, football, I think golf had a unique advantage. The inherent nature of this sport, there's a self-policing aspect. There's individual accountability within the game itself that I think is actually translating to the testing with coronavirus, that they're making sure that they're protecting themselves, because if they're not on the course, they're not going to be making money, but they're also protecting themselves so that they don't cost someone else money. If they test positive or if they've got symptoms, they don't want to pull somebody else off the course from being around them and cost them money. So I think it's interesting to watch as they keep going, but I think they're doing the right things.
Hopefully next time, not only we're talking about golf, we're talking college football as well, too. He's Tom Vinh here. And Tom, go enjoy a week off. You deserve it, my man.
Thanks, Tom.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Oh, I love how stupid and great this show is. And hopefully we're adding to that stupidity this week. Peter Burns, Katie George, rolling with you this week. You can follow us on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. You can follow that young lady at Katie_George05, even though I'm team no underscore in the Twitter handle. Remember, guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll have Kenny Smith on a little bit later. Remember, ESPN Plus has all the soccer you need, FA Cup, Serie A, MLS, plus original series, exclusive studio shows, the 30 for 30 documentary, stream soccer, the best leagues, the tournaments, all in HD, all on your favorite device. Beautiful Game is live, and it's on ESPN Plus. Sign up today, ESPNplus.com or the ESPN app. Real quick, I'm getting a couple tweets in here at Peter Burns ESPN. Danielle McClure says, I just coated yourself, and I got this, like, we're having a real long commercial break. Why did you cut off at the end of your Redskins take? Can I get a collective group here from the Le Batard Show? Did I do that right? Did I hit the heart out the proper way, Chris?
Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Beautiful.
Okay. There was a build up to it. I felt like it was a certain nod, a tip of the cap.
Don't hype him. Don't hype him up.
What?
You just met him. He doesn't.
I just
need
wanted to
that.
Make sure that I did it.
This
I did
gonna
it properly.
It's going to be a long week, gentlemen, if you start hyping Peter Burns up. When he doesn't
Thank
deserve
you.
It.
I just need all the help I can get. All right, a little help here, Katie George. Let's get a SportsCenter update in here. Let's go.
Well, Kamaru Usman will face Jorge Masvidal in a welterweight title fight on Saturday at UFC 251 on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. Bryson DeChambeau, at 23 strokes under par, won the Rocket Mortgage Classic, defeating Matthew Wolf by 3 shots. Barbasol Shaving Cream is available in 5 fantastic flavors to customize your close shave, whether it's the classic, original, or sensitive skin. There's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, so we were talking about the Washington Redskins, and yes, as an homage to the show, I went on the hard out, but I do have some thoughts on this, and Katie, I know you're fired up to talk about it as well, as there's been these discussions about whether or not the Washington Redskins are going to change their name, and I'll be honest with you, I really thought, Katie, that this was a done deal, right? This was absolutely done. Even when you start seeing the reports that Daniel Snyder says, well, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, it's like when my wife tells me to go take out the trash, and then I'll be like, I've been thinking about taking out the trash for a good 2-3 hours. So I know you told me to do it, but I've been thinking about it, right? Like, I kind of felt like that was Daniel Snyder's way of saying that they were going to change the name. But then we see the report that comes out from ESPN.com yesterday and late last night saying that there's as many as 3 minority owners, or the 3 minority owners want to sell. Now, those 3 minority owners, Katie, they own 40% of the Washington Redskins. And now I start thinking, is this really happening? Is Snyder really starting to dig his heels in and go, yeah, I know we're going to collectively have this group and we're going to, you know, talk about this. But do you think that he's actually willing to go to bat and die on that hill to keep the Washington Redskins name, even after FedEx has jumped in and now these minority owners are being like, dude, if you can't figure this out, we're out?
Yeah, I actually do. And I'm curious because it's been... there's been so many angles to this story, right? When it broke that, you know, FedEx has decided to formally make a statement asking them to change their names after FedEx, PepsiCo, Nike were all pressured by private investors from Wall Street to relinquish their sponsorships and cut ties with the Washington Redskins. Like, this has been a crazy story as it's developed. And the latest being that these three minority owners want to sever ties because they are not happy being a partner with Daniel Snyder. Like, this to me, reading that, makes me believe that, hey, we need to get out of this because this is a sinking ship and he's holding fast to the Redskins nickname and we don't want to be a part of it. Maybe, and hopefully I'm reading into that wrong, but when I read that, that they are not happy with the partnership, it leads me to believe that behind closed doors, he's still fighting to keep the name in some shape or form.
I think that is part of the case. I do think that there is begrudgingly, at some point, Snyder's going to understand. Listen, Nike's not even putting the Washington Redskins logo and gear up, right? And I mean, we even had the, I think Adam Schefter report yesterday on SportsCenter says it's going to change before the 2020. Listen, Adam Schefter breaks news and then other teams actually do it. That's actually how it works behind the Wizard of Oz cloak here. So if Schefter said it was going to happen, it ends up happening. But I want to go even deeper than that. If these minority owners want to sell 40% of arguably the most profitable thing that you can own in sports at this point is a National Football League franchise, it has to go farther than Snyder resisting the name and resisting the logo, right? Like, what I think it does is I think there's questions on whether or not the season will actually be played. And so, therefore, they're thinking, listen, if all of a sudden this season doesn't get played, then we've got a whole world of hurt as far as what these franchises are going to be worth. But I think the bigger issue now, and I saw this with everything that trended about, you know, the NFL deciding they're going to play the quote-unquote black national anthem, which is a whole different discussion we'll get into in a little bit. But I do believe these minority owners of the Redskins, that's part of the sum as well, too. They're looking at this going, the NFL as we know it is not going to be the NFL of 1988 or 1998 or 2008 or hell, even 2014. The NFL now is going to be as fractured as all. And so that's what scares me. What scares me is not Daniel Snyder dragging his heels saying we're not going to change the logo, we're not going to do this, which may or may not be true. But the fact that other guys want to cash in when it seems like this has an exponential amount of growth, means there's something more to that, right?
So you think that they see the writing on the wall, they want to take their money and run, and they're using the facade of, hey, we're not happy with our partnership with Daniel Snyder, and kind of using the name change as the facade of why they're really running?
I think that's a little bit of both. I think you're absolutely nailed it. She's Katie George. I'm Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show, right? Because if I'm that part, at some point, they've had these issues before, right? Whenever they've had these copyright issues and the lawsuit came down and they've had this discussion about changing the name, these minority owners didn't want out then, right? They were happy making a boatload of money. But now, I think they see the writing on the wall. I think they see the writing on the wall whenever week one of the NFL season happens, right? And all of a sudden, you're going to get a lot of people talking about this for week one. The NFL has decided they're going to sing Lift Every Voice and Sing, okay? AKA the Black National Anthem. Roy, I want to bring you in on here, right? As I'm the whitest person in the history of white sports talk radio, so I can't talk to this. But did you know that Lift Every Voice and Sing was the Black National Anthem? Is that the fair way of saying this, right?
Yes, it is. It's the Black National Anthem.
Okay. My read on this, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, is that these minority owners, the ones that want to sell the 40%, look at this and go, we're getting ready to get into a highly divisive situation in September, into where there will be fans that say, quote, boycott the NFL, I can't stand this. Not actually doing their due diligence of what the song is and the message it is, but they're going to say, I'm just done with this. There's only one national anthem, and it's the American national anthem, right? Yada, 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 we've heard about it. And that these minority owners want to get out before this happens in September. Do you feel like that could be the case?
No, I don't. It's too much of a moneymaker. And even besides the point, why are we even playing this song at the beginning of NFL football games? That's not really answering the question of what are we going to do to end systemic racism. It's just placating
So you think it's pandering?
It's pandering.
It's a bit of pandering.
It's absolutely pandering. Yeah.
And that's the same. That's the same sentiment that Charles Arbuckle had yesterday, Peter.
Yeah, on our show.
He said that song means a great deal to him. He and his teammates in high school used to sing it together. They used to play it sometimes before their football games. And he agreed, like, yes, that song means a great deal to a lot of people in black communities, but it's pandering and it doesn't actually make any difference in terms of what is the league trying to do to make change. And just playing a song doesn't do it. And so I find it really interesting to hear Roy say that, as well as Charles Arbuckle, that this is just the league pandering and taking this a step too far when not really understanding the ramifications of it.
While I was doing extensive show prep for this show last night, playing Fortnite with Marcus Spears, I asked him the same exact question. By the way, we were cursing at 8-year-olds, and that's what we traditionally do.
Did you hurt your thumb again? Like,
no,
thumb
I do have a bad Fortnite injury. I don't really want to discuss it. It's still, you guys are laughing here in studio, but it actually did. I thought I tore a ligament in my left thumb because I got so upset at a fourth grader that I threw the remote and I slammed my hand on the couch at like 1 a.m., and I woke up the dogs, which woke up the kids, which woke up my wife, and I didn't have the stones to tell her that I got injured playing against a fourth grader that was up past curfew on Fortnite. But that's a different story.
Had you least taken out the trash at that point?
Or? I don't want to talk about that, Katie. I'm not here to bring up the past. Really not here to bring up the past. However, I asked that to Marcus, and I said, Marcus, talk me through this. And he just starts laughing. He starts laughing, and Roy, to your credit, he said the exact same thing. He goes, what the hell is this doing? Steph Curry had his Instagram comment about it, saying, what does this actually accomplish? And so, again, I'm tying into the fact, Roy, that I do disagree with you there. I think these minority owners, they do want to get out because they realize that there are certain people that can use their Twitter account. They did it today with Bubba Wallace. And you'll see all of a sudden that will create a absolute groundswell of support for things that are good and things that are bad in this world. And that they look at that going, this is going to be a political topic. Get me the heck out. And we could have had Stu Gatz in cornrows. I don't think he would have come out of this, come out of the ring. Who was he supposed to be the ring kid for? The ring guy walking in? Anthony, who did we have? Who was it going to be?
We had Jorge Masvidal.
Masvidal, right? And it was supposed to be Stu Gatz that was going to walk in with them. And now, unfortunately, unless Stu Gatz, who is off this week, and that's why it's Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Has anybody checked on him? Like, are y'all close enough as coworkers that if anybody's checked on Stu Gatz, like, I feel like a good show like you guys, world renowned, should all be like boys and have a text chain going. Has anyone checked on where Stu Gatz is at any point?
They're so close, they haven't checked on him. That's the point.
Okay.
I haven't checked on him, but I just can assure you he is not on his way to Abu Dhabi.
Okay. Is Stu Gatz the kind of guy that would let you know that he's on his way to Abu Dhabi if he was going? Like, is he the guy that would, like, post the Instagram post and it's just, like, the flight and it says, like Arab Emirates, Airlines, and it's got, like, 1D or something like that, and he's like, gonna be a long flight, and just, like, this total humble brag, Billy? Is that how Stu Gatz would have done it?
What he would do is he'll tell you, I'm definitely going, I'm definitely going, I'm definitely going, I'm on my way, I'll be there soon. I couldn't make it, buddy. I'm sorry. Something came up. And he will tell you at the last minute, like, oh, sorry, I'm not there.
Oh, okay. All right. Just good to know who are your friends. That's fine. As long as you know, again, like we started this show, as long as you know where the bar is set and occasionally you jump over it, you'll be fine. Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Of course, all the guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Before we get into Stephen A. Smith's talking about happy birthday to everybody, it's time, Katie George, for a little Sports Center update. Let's go.
Well, Kamaru Usman will face Jorge Masvidal in a welterweight title fight on Saturday at UFC 251 in Abu Dhabi Fight Island. Bryson DeChambeau, at 23 strokes under par, won the Rocket Mortgage Classic, defeating Matthew Wolf by 3 shots. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Remember Fight Island, UFC 251. Don't want to miss it. Exclusively available ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99 plus ESPN, or visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details and potentially a Stu Gatz surprise appearance there in Fight Island. Before I tell you why this important birthday was so big to the sports world, I figured you have to intro it the right way. And Stephen A. Smith, one of the best sound bites here on the Le Batard Show. Is it birthday time? I do care. Sylvester Stallone, 74 years young today. And again, when you go back in, you get all the Rocky movies, which even Katie, I know you're young. All the Rocky movies are pretty fantastic, except for five against Tommy Morrison. Not that great, but I believe that every single one of the Rocky movies still hold up. But my question to you is that, and can we throw this up on the poll? Billy, can we put this up on the poll? It's also Zion Williams' birthday as well. Okay. He's 20 years old today. And it's also Forrest Gump. The movie came out today in 1994. So my question I want to throw to Levitard listeners here. Bigger legacy 20 years from now. Going to be Stallone? Is it going to be Zion? Or is it going to be Forrest Gump? I thought about putting 50 Cent in as well. It is his birthday. Go Shorty. However, I don't feel like he's in that pedestal enough. I don't think he sold enough vitamin water, Katie George, to see that he's right on the same edge as Rocky and Zion and Forrest Gump.
I also think you're missing a few key people who are also born today, July 6th and whatever years. I'm looking at Kevin Hart. I'm looking at George W. Bush, the 43rd U.S. President of the United States. The Dalai Lama, Peter, was born today.
Like Bryson DeChambeau, long hitter the Lama. That's correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Pau Gasol was also born. Nancy Reagan, although she passed away in 2016.
Okay.
I think, as I'm reading through this, there's so many people.
But I think, I'm not going to put a political figure up there because what they will accomplish, and I would say Dalai Lama, George W. Bush are just on a different level, right? I still don't feel like Paul Gasol is on the same level. I don't think like 25 years from now, we're all going to be like, dude, Paul Gasol, wow, unbelievable as you go through your memorabilia. I feel like Paul Gasol jerseys will be about $17.95 on eBay, buy it now. In 20 years from now. Not the same about Stallone, maybe not the same about Zion or Forrest Gump. So Billy, how are you wording this poll, by the way? Like, it's how you word it is very important here.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So who will have the bigger legacy 20 years from now, I guess?
Add Kevin Hart to that list. You can have four.
I don't know. Listen.
So you're putting Forrest Gump, who's fictional, for one. Sylvester Stallone.
It's the movie. Now hold on. The movie Forrest Gump. Like Forrest himself is untouchable. I mean, my God, the man has the accomplishments. No other human has been Forrest
Kevin
Gump.
Hart. Why of the three people you have right now, Forrest Gump the movie, Sylvester Stallone, and Zion Williamson, but you won't add Kevin Hart to that? I mean, how do you put in a bowl?
Roy, am I good with Kevin Hart? Should we add him in? What are we thinking? Let's go around the horn here. Kevin Hart, does he get here in this triumvirate of three that we've had?
Well, he sold out stadiums for his stand-up, so yeah, he's
Thank
good.
You, Roy.
Okay, Chris, so Roy's a yes?
I almost feel like every single person we've listed here, it could be, I can make the argument they're all overrated.
But even
Forrest
Paul
Gump.
All right, cut his
mic off.
Wow,
there is a hot take.
If you're going to have an issue with Stallone, or you're going to have an issue with Forrest Gump, honestly, Chris, it's the last time on the show. All right, Anthony, where are we at? Do we add Kevin Hart in?
We definitely had Kevin Hart in, like Roy said, the only stand-up comedian to sell out a football stadium. We're talking 50, 60,000 people. That's big in my book.
Yes, Roy.
In fact, we should take Forrest Gump out. That's what
There we go. Yeah. I'm actually with you on that. I like the movie, but yeah, I don't
the
like
the man
him.
Was a star Alabama football player.
Oh, and here
okay?
we go. It all
Ping
comes back
pong,
to the SEC.
Absolute master, okay? Gave these impassioned speeches. He was a decorated soldier, saved lives, and yet you don't want to put him up there. You want to put him up there with Kevin Hart, and if we're going to take one out, take Zion. Like you could take Zion out because who the hell knows? Although, listen, lost 25 pounds, put on a bunch of muscle, looks great. But I understand it. I'm not willing to trade you Forrest Gump. This is a negotiation here at this point, Roy.
Oh,
not
wow.
willing to take Forrest Gump out of the equation.
Wow, it's a dictatorship. Interesting. Okay.
No, that changed fast.
If
you're going to take Forrest Gump, if you're going to leave that in, you need to put Pulp Fiction and the Shawshank Redemption in as well.
Ooh.
Wait, hold up.
Shawshank?
Wait a minute. Those came out on today's date as well?
No, they came out in 94. And Forrest Gump
won
Best Picture over
Disclaimer.
That's 365 days. I don't even know. It might have been a leap year, so he might have had 366 at that point. You can't just say a film is in 94. I'm talking about here as we sit here on this fine day of July the 6th. Katie, like, I mean, we got to put the poll up eventually. So what are we going with here?
Well, I just want you to know that Larsa Yunon may be or maybe not Scottie Pippen's wife or ex-wife, who said that he's doing just fine. It's her birthday today, too.
Congratulations.
Jeffrey Rush, who's Captain Barbossa, phenomenal character. It's his birthday as well, and the CEO of YouTube. So shall we add them?
No. And okay. Again, I'm putting
it's a dictatorship.
Three. Here's it's not a dictatorship. You want to
well,
put...
it sounds like it.
Oh, well, you want to put the... Who can you name... Can anyone here name the president of YouTube? Anyone?
Yeah, hold on. I got to keep scrolling.
Yeah, because you got to Google
Susan. It. Oh, that is a tricky... Woj... I'm not going there. It just starts with a Woj. And then
Woj
it's
bombs?
A lot of letters. It's a lot of consonants.
Susan Woj bombs. Congratulations. You will not make the Dan Le Batard poll today.
Right.
We are doing three, so we need to quickly... And right there. We want Kevin Hart... We're going to have Stallone and Forrest Gump. Billy, are we okay with that? Is that...
You took Zion out? Can you not
I'm taking
have four?
Zion
you
out.
Can have four.
I'm taking Zion out.
You can have four on Twitter.
You can have four. So, do like, know the fine. Platform, Peter.
Okay.
We've got fine. Four.
Says the person who has an underscore in their Twitter name, and it still triggers me every time. All right. We're gonna get
fair.
Into this discussion when we get back. She is Katie George, Katie underscore George 05. I am Peter Burns. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. This is the Dan Le Batard Show. Always do those in Sports Talk Radio in San Antonio, and I was hosting Peter Burns, Katie George. We'd have like somebody famous give a read, and then through a time, they kind of just ran out of way. Like, people didn't do it any longer. But when you get Ric Flair doing it, it hits a little bit different. This is a Dan Le Batard Show. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Kenny the Jet Smith's going to be joining us here momentarily there. But remember, today on ESPN Daily, chess grandmasters train just like other elite athletes. Top players work out several hours a day to prepare for their matches that go on forever. Kind of a crazy story, and only the ones that ESPN Daily does, they do it extremely well. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Katie George, now it's time for your SportsCenter update. Let's roll.
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks and Sacramento Kings shut down their practice facilities after receiving the results of a recent round of testing for the coronavirus. Kevin Harvick won the Brickyard 400. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show. And every morning I wake up, I try to figure out, as soon as I wake up, I'll check Twitter to see, A, if we're still alive, and then, B, how do we feel about sports? And it feels like the NBA has been kind of a roller coaster ride. Joining us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, the Jet. That's right, Kenny the Jet Smith, co-star of Turner Sports Inside the NBA. And Kenny, I find this interesting because I see so many people in our neighborhood, they're doing this online and kind of these Zoom education things and stuff like that. But you guys are taking it in a different direction, too, with the Jet Academy. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing with some of the NBA and WNBA stars.
Well, you know, hey, thanks for having me. But also, you know, doing COVID and social distancing, you know, I have a basketball camp that was canceled, and then I have, you know, my kids' camps, all they were canceled, my children's camp. I was just, you know, around the world, we're just seeing it. So I was like, why should everyone development stop because of social distancing? Why should it stop? And so I just created the first virtual basketball camp, virtual basketball academy, where you sign up, works on any device, any cell. All you need is a cell service and a Wi-Fi, any device. And for 2 hours, you know, Trae Young, Kemba Walker, Victor Oladipo, all NBA All-Stars, Breonna Stewart, League MVP in the WNBA, Brittany Griner. We're your personal trainers for 2 hours. But the difference, it's live. So our kids kind of consume information live. So you get to ask questions live. You get to upload videos live. And it's a different process, and the differentiator. And again, it's jetacademycamp.com. Sign up for an hour and a half, and you get a nice workout.
So, Kenny, there's going to be instructional videos, coach talks, different Q&As. When you posed the question to Kemba Walker, Trae Young, Brittany Griner, what were their thoughts on this virtual camp? How did they take it?
Well, they loved it because all of them have camps already that they had to cancel. So they were like, we have to cancel our camps. This is great. But then I told them, I'm like, yeah, but typically you only get people in Boston or Pickle in your city or Charlotte, wherever you're playing, or Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Now you got the world. Like, everyone's available. Everyone has access to it. And, you know, it's funny because Kemba was asking, he's like, well, what are we going to do? I was like, we want to do your drills. We want you to uncover those. Like, what would you do to work out? I said, you know, the step back move that you get everybody to fall, you got to show it. He started laughing. He's like, yeah, no problem. I said, but you got to tell us when and why you do it. He's like, okay, Kenny, I'm doing it. But if Patrick Beverly signs on, I'm hanging up. I'm going to leave this stuff. Like, awesome. I'm not giving him that secret.
I love it. Kenny Jet Smith joining us here, the Dan Le Batard Show, Peter Burns and Katie George. Kenny, when you look at this, obviously we're just all antsy. We want some basketball in our life. If I put Kenny Jet Smith, NBA legend, in 2020, you're still young, you're suiting up, you're ready to go. How comfortable are you feeling about what's going on in Orlando?
Well, it depends on how old I am. I'm 21, 22, 23. I'm like, let's go hoop, because I had no responsibilities. I lived alone, no kids. You know, my mom and dad lived in New York. I played in Sacramento. My only responsibility was to me at that time, you know, safety. But, you know, 30-year-old Kenny, kids, you know, family, my mom and dad moves closer to, you know, they come in to visit. I might have different trepidations and different concerns that I would have had, you know, being younger Kenny, so to speak.
Kenny, J.J. Redick earlier this week in a conference call with media, he said there's absolutely no comfort level going down to the bubble. Is that the general consensus from players in the league that you've spoken with, or do other guys feel more confident and have more trust in the league and what they've set up in Orlando?
I think that everyone should be on the side of caution, like everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a person that shouldn't be. This is the most active virus we've known, and deadly in our lifetime. So you should have a concern, for sure.
Kenny, when you look at this and you guys start going through and you're getting ready to get back in and start covering these games, let's take coronavirus out of it, right? And it's hard to at this point, but you're just talking about the questions you have for basketball. And what are they? Is it as simple of Dwight Howard and what the Lakers are going to do as far as now defensively and also getting J.R. Smith on this? But what are the basketball questions that you can't wait to see actually get answered in Orlando?
Well, when you've had 3 to 4 months off, it's a new season. So for me, you think about the improvement that certain players make from 1 year to the next. You're going to see that in Orlando, which is going to be different. You're like, that's not the same Ja Morant, possibly. That's not Luka, the same Luka. Like, these guys are having an opportunity to assess the league and mature and get experience. And now they're coming back. To me, this just feels like we're starting a new league.
Do you feel like players who have said that they're worried about gearing up as quickly as possible, the 8 games for the remaining portion of the regular season, are so important that injury is something that is weighing on a lot of guys' minds?
I mean, of course, I would feel that way. I would feel that way more if I was, you know, a guy who had just been hurt and was just coming back when before the pandemic. Like, if I had just come back from whatever injury and then the pandemic hits, then for 3 to 4 months, I wouldn't have had access to the training facilities to continue my treatment to continue to improve. Mm-hmm. So then I would be a little concerned about just dropped in now, because I really, not saying I'd be hurt, but I just wouldn't have the, you know, so I would be concerned if I was that type of guy. But anyone else, like, I would be like, if I was LeBron, I'd be like, woof, what did I need this? You know, I'm glad that we're all healthy. You know, but I did need this rest, you know, from a basketball standpoint. We're not talking about COVID-19 and the results of people dying, but we're talking about in rest for my profession. Oh, I needed that.
You mentioned LeBron. Who do you think benefits the most? Which team do you think comes back better, stronger, having had so many months off?
Young teams. Mm-hmm. I think young teams, again, Milwaukee's, you think Giannis coming back for his next season, he'll be better. You think of Denver, you think of Boston, you think of Dallas, Porzingis and now Luka coming back together, better. So I would say younger teams to me, because older veterans kind of train one way to get ready for the long haul of the city season, where young guys, a lot of times, they're like, oh, I'm coming in day one and I could score 50, you know? And a lot of times the older guys kind of ease into the season.
Do you think that it's warranted some people saying, you know, Washington, the Suns, they shouldn't have been included in the trip down to Orlando? Or do you think now what we've seen with the Nets and different players opting out and not deciding to go, that Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards actually have a chance to get within four games and force that play-in tournament for that eighth seed?
Yeah. I think the league understood that there would be parameters that some of the key players might not want to be there. And, and safeguarding those parameters now also gives some interest in, you know, teams that really were mathematically close to being out.
Kenny Jet Smith, co-star of Turner Sports, Inside the NBA, joining Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Levitard Show. Kenny, how much is a snitch hotline going to be used? I mean, you've seen this happen, right? Like the NBA has said, we're putting out a phone number. If you see anyone that's not paying attention or not doing the right things, how many times is that number going to be used? Over and under 10?
I would say over, just because what is the right thing to do? Like, there's so much information that comes out on a daily basis that is contrary to what it was the day before. So what is the right method? So I think the questions that come for is going to be like, well, I just saw this. Is this okay? You know, I don't even know. What is the protocol to not catch COVID-19? What is it? There is none. Like, so I don't know who's right.
The reason why I ask that question is I want to know, like, do you feel like NBA in 2020 and all of this has brought this league closer together, or do you feel like it's more fractured than it was because the teams don't see each other and they haven't been playing? Do you think that the players handling this in 2020 would have been the same in the mid-90s, or was there more camaraderie or more vitriol? How do you see the difference between the two?
I think, you know, this is a different time. I think these guys have closer relationships, honestly, with each other on different teams because of free agency and social media that we particularly didn't have with other players on other teams. So I think that they're socially able to, like, everyone is able to give their viewpoint socially. They're able to see themselves economically. So I think that this era probably is best equipped for what's going on.
Shaq, your counterpart, has said that he feels like whoever wins the championship this year, there will be an asterisk next to their name. Whereas Doc Rivers says, if anything, it should be a gold star. Giannis, Mike Boonholzer also agreed that they thought this would be the toughest championship to win because of all that's gone on and all the factors. How do you view this championship?
Anytime I put 350 of the best anything and have a contest and how long I have it and someone wins it, I don't say it's an asterisk. These are 350 best players in the world. They're all going to be in Orlando for a month and a half, and we're going to have a champion. To me, that's whatever it is, it's the same or the same difficulty.
Last question for Kenny the Jet Smith here on the Dan Levitard Show. Settle the poll debate that we've had here on the show today. Who's going to have a bigger legacy in 20 years, Kenny? Are you ready for this? There's four options.
Okay.
In 20 years from now, are we going to be talking more about Sylvester Stallone and what he meant to movies, Zion Williamson, the movie Forrest Gump, or Kevin Hart the comedian? In 20 years from now, who's going to have the bigger legacy?
That's a wide range of people.
It is. It's all of their birthdays today. That's why they're linked.
Okay. I was trying to figure out, when did that come about? I would say Kevin Hart has the bigger
opportunity. Wow.
Thank you.
I didn't even want to. I wasn't even going to include him. Our boy Roy Bellamy said, no, you got to include Kevin Hart. Over Stallone in his movies, over Zion in his career, and over the movie Forrest Gump, we'll be talking Kevin Hart more in two decades.
Because he is hitting us in so many different areas. He's writing books. He's doing stand-up. He's doing decent movies. But he's doing it. He's hitting us in so many different ways that he's going to still be relevant, I think, 20 years from now, and his career will still be at a pinnacle. It won't be, like, it could not be fading, where those guys, their career could be as faded in 20 years.
I love it. We'll be talking about you guys and the work you do on Inside the NBA for 20 years. And I guarantee you kids that are going to be on that Jet Academy that you have launched at jetacademycamp.com will be talking about their experience with you and Kemba Walker and Trey Young and Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart for 20 years as well. Hey,
Jet, don't give your kids something to do for an hour and a half other than be behind the cutest computer and not be active.
I hear you, man. You can go out there, jetacademycamp.com. Kenny the Jet Smith joining us here from Inside the NBA right there on the Shell Pinsar Performance Line. Welcome back to the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George. I am seeing this cross my timeline from NC5. That's coming out of Nashville, the news station, and seen it a couple times while we're playing The Devil Went Down to Georgia. That country music Hall of Famer, Charlie Daniels, has passed away at the age of 83. Arguably one of the great, like, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, Katie, like, it's storytelling, it's just incredible, like, incredible music.
It's
very well done, and we'll make sure we get a little bit more details about that coming up a little bit on the show. Of course, this is the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George, and all guests are going to be up here that Shell Pinsar Performance Line. And now for a little Sports Center update. Katie George, what do we have?
Well, the Milwaukee Bucks and Sacramento Kings shut down their practice facilities after receiving the results of a recent round of testing for the coronavirus. Kevin Harvick won the Brickyard 400. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All throughout the day is where I'll be on Twitter as soon as this show is over, at Peter Burns ESPN, at Katie_George05, because it appears that there is an impending choice by a conference that plays in the FCS, that's Football Championship Subdivision, that could have an impact that stretches across college football. That was the article from Bruce Feldman and Nicole Auerbach on The Athletic. And what it was that the fact that the Ivy League, Katie, is appearing that they may vote and have a spring football season. Now, this is something that has been talked about. This is not a brand new idea. It's been talked about through all Power 5 conferences. I guarantee you, I mean, I talked to Commissioner Greg Sankey of the SEC. He said they had as many as 20 different
contingency plans
at this point. And I said, when the hell did you decide? And he goes, we're going to decide kind of at the last moment, right? Well, I think that last moment, at least for the SEC, and when I talked to athletic directors at Georgia and at LSU and at Florida, they believe the last moment to decide is probably going to be that last week in July, the first week in August, okay? Kids are going to be back on campus around July 13th, not just for the voluntary workouts, but doing team meetings and a little bit less of the social distancing stuff that the volunteer workouts are or the voluntary workouts are. And so that's when they'll know, hey, how many kids test positive? How many kids are dealing with this? How serious is it? And then they'll decide, okay, because that'll be a month out from the games. The problem is now is that with the Ivy League, if they indeed decide to vote into spring, you kick in the herd mentality switch. We see it all the time. We see it all the time on Twitter on whether or not someone has a take and everybody wants to pile in. But this is not just one conference doing it. This is the Ivy League, okay? The Ivy League saying, potentially, that, hey, we're going to punt on this. We're going to punt. If we're going to have football, let's look at this 6 months down the road. And here's where the herd mentality kicks in. If Ivy League does it, you know that every single one of these Power 5 conferences, these commissioners, Katie, are on the phone with each other and saying, well, if the Ivy League's doing it, it's about time that we kick in our processes to look into making that happen as well, too. I mean, that just blows my mind that we could be potentially without college football this fall.
I really thought you were going to say, if the Ivy League's doing it, clearly they're the smartest people in the room, so we should all be doing it. But you just didn't come through for me, Peter Burns.
Why not? Why? Like, okay, so at some point, Yale would be like, I mean, I know you got into Yale, and I know, you know, Harvard, but are you really that smart? I mean, listen, yes, there are the one percenters that probably are bad apples when you look at these places, right? They're a little bit kind of crazy. But at some point, these legitimately are the smartest people in the room, okay?
They can be. And the fact that they're considering that, to your point, there's two options on the table. They're cutting it to a 7-game conference-only schedule. Mm-hmm. They've discussed moving the current schedule back to late September, early October start, or they'd move the 7-game conference schedule into the spring where they'd start in April, end in May. And so what we're hearing is that they're going to vote on this spring decision, which, just like Harvard deciding that they're not going to have students on campus in the fall and they're going to go to a full year of online courses, you could see, just even though it's the Ivy League when it comes to sports, you could see FBS Power 5 conferences take a hard look at this and say, do we do this too? And if that's the case, Peter, we're having a completely different conversation here in a few weeks, even a few months, because the ramifications of having college football move to the spring is tremendous. And I'm talking to the one percenters in the game, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Travis Etienne.
They gone.
They're faced with a really, really hard decision that I don't feel like any 20, 21-year-old needs to make. And that's the sad fact of, does Trevor Lawrence stick around when he's got the film and the tape that he needs to be the number one draft pick in the next upcoming draft? Does he really need to stay and play Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech on Saturdays? No, he doesn't, and I don't blame him. And that's going to be a sad case if we see more schools look to the way of moving their seasons to the spring.
But what's interesting is, and take it even one, and you nailed that, Katie George here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Peter Burns, and take it one step further, right? If we're saying that the Ivy League is saying, hey, we're pretty smart, but we're going to move this into spring, it's the right thing to do, their football league is not determined on how much money they make. Now,
sure.
You start talking about Florida State, you talk about LSU, you talk about Southern Cal, how much of the money that comes in on these Power 5 universities in football, how it funds all of the different sports. And so the question is, at that point, then you lead in going, well, yeah, we should kick it into spring, but we really need football to be played right now.
Right now.
And ultimately, what I think that will happen is that I think that at this point, I don't think it's going to be canceled fully for Power 5, at least into the spring. I think there will be, within the next 3 weeks, at least some type of suspension saying that, hey, for the first month, we're moving it back. That we're going to look at a September 26th or an October 5th, the first week in October type start of the season, and they're going to try to push this back until they could say, you know what, y'all haven't done enough to where we feel comfortable to putting these kids back on the field. And that's going to change everything, especially if it bleeds over into the spring. She is Katie George. I am Peter Burns. This is the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio.